That wonderful. Hey, let them know it again. Come on. Maybe they'll come back and do it again. Okay. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Hey, want you to take your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Just a few moments. We're going to open up God's Word there. Before we do, hey, go back to our prayer slide, if you will. Thank you, sir. We're going to be praying this morning for Cliff and Cynthia Case. Cliff is a friend of mine. He and I were at Washita together back in the late 70s, early 80s. He is serving as one of our IMB missionaries in Santiago, Chile. And very appropriate that we are praying today for collegiate teams to minister to schools and churches with evangelism and discipleship, and for journeymen to help churches build healthy ministries to college students and young professionals. It is incredible what God is doing across our state, around this world, with college students. As the song was just presented to us, this generation is rising up to take that torch and to share the gospel. And we are praying for many more from our college campuses to be called out in service around this world, among the nations. So continue to pray, if you will, for Cliff and for Cynthia as they work there in Santiago, Chile, for collegiate teams, and for journeymen through our IMB who will feel that call of God to spend a couple of years serving alongside missionaries like the Cases. Let's pray together, then we'll look at God's Word. Father, we are indeed grateful for the work of BCM in our state, for Bruce and all those guys, Adam and others who serve faithfully on our college campuses. Father, we pray for a revival to occur on campuses across this state as our BCM directors and students are involved in discipleship and disciple making. Father, would you just stir in the hearts of students to call many to salvation, to call many to join our IMB as missionaries, journeymen, to serve alongside missionaries like the Cases in among the nations of this world. Father, we pray for that to occur, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit. The last several weeks of this interim, we have been talking about the mission of the church, or the purpose of the church. It was Rick Warren who years ago, probably 30 years ago, said this: a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. That was the basis of a lot of churches beginning to formulate mission statements or purpose statements within the church. And even though that statement, a church's mission statement, may be very similar, you know, when you look across the board at different churches with their purpose statement, their mission statements, you're going to see a lot of similarities there because they are based upon those two scriptures: the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. Go make disciples among all nations. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. Regardless of how a church states its mission purpose, its statement, it's going to include these three. In some way, love of God, loving people, making disciples. That's what it's about, church. Now, let me kind of share with you, in case it's been a while since you've heard this, the mission statement, the purpose statement of East End Baptist Church. Here it is: to make disciples for Christ at home and abroad, to nurture members, and to minister to people in need. That is a very biblically sound mission purpose statement. I don't know when that was crafted, have no idea, but that is spot on with the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Now, The mission of the church answers this question: what do we do? But here's an equally important question that I want us to consider today. Why do we do what we do? What we do is all about the purpose, the mission. Why do we do what we do is about values. You see, we do what we do, whether we're talking about a church or a business, or you as an individual or a business owner, or a husband, a wife, a parent, a college student. We do what we do because there's a value that underlines that, okay? That's the foundation of what we do. There is some kind of value there that is at the foundation of every action, every decision that we make. And that's equally important and true for the church as well. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the values of a healthy church. The values of a healthy church. So what is a healthy church? How would you describe a healthy church? I know some people would say something like this: well, we've just got to be like the early church. You ever heard that? We've got to be like the early church. Well, it all depends on which early church you're talking about. Because if you're talking about the church at Corinth or the church at Laodicea, I don't want any part of those churches, okay? Those weren't healthy at all. But there's a statement in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42, that describes a healthy church and gets to the values, what's on the foundation for how that church operated. This is the first church in Jerusalem. You remember, after the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, they go out, they witness. It says that some 3,000 people believed the message and were baptized, and they were added to the church. Then it begins in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together. They held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property, distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, in this passage, we see that church at its earliest stages, before any kind of corruption, any kind of sinful nature kind of came into the church, and we see a healthy church. And these values that we see in verses 42 through 47 define the uniqueness of this church, but also determine their strategy for how they were going to fulfill the Great Commission. So I want us to look at this early church in Acts chapter 2, kind of as an example to pull from that some values of a healthy church. Number one is this: a healthy church values the power and presence. One slide ahead of us. A healthy church values the power and the... Okay, go back about two slides. Keep going back. Not forward, back. There we go. Values the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations. Here's what the early church understood. That's an assignment they could not fulfill on their own. They simply couldn't do that, regardless of the number of people. 3,000 people couldn't do that, okay? They had to have another power. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that purpose. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." At the end of that Great Commission, here's what he said: "I am with you always to the very end of the age." the authority that I have, I am giving to you. And he places the Holy Spirit upon his people. The church at Jerusalem understood something. They understood that if they were going to fulfill the Great Commission, then they were going to need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. They were going to need God who lived within them to fulfill that purpose that God had given to them. And as a result of that, here's what Scripture says in Acts chapter 2, 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe. Everyone filled with awe. Many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles. Now, I think that's interesting that it doesn't say by the apostles. Through the apostles. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit of God who is working through the church to accomplish his purpose. Jesus said, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've told you. The early church understood that they could do nothing apart from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, nor did they want to do anything apart from the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit was not in that, they wanted nothing to do with it whatsoever. Now, let's look at the church today. We've got a lot more resources, don't we? Just a lot more resources than that early church in Jerusalem had. We have money. We've got buildings. We've got education. We've got community clout. You know what the temptation is when we have a lot? We start to depend on the lot that we have. We start to place our dependence, thinking there's power in what we can do. When we have much, there is that temptation to depend on ourselves, on the stuff we have, and not on the Holy Spirit. So the question we've got to ask, church, is are we desperate for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? That's the value of that early church. Number two is this. They valued God exalting worship. Most appropriate response to the love of God that we've experienced in Jesus Christ is worship. Amen? I mean, that leads us to worship, to ascribe to God the worth that he deserves. In worship, here's what we do. We focus on God. We focus on who God is. We focus on what God has done for us. And Jesus said, that's what he desires. That's what God desires. Here's what he said in John chapter 4. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God seeks his church. He desires his church to worship him in response to the love, the grace that we've seen in Jesus Christ. And so the early church, here's what happened. Every day, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. God exalting worship. Number three, the early church, a healthy church, values connection with God that leads to growth. And the vehicle for that are the spiritual disciplines, okay? So there is a value placed upon spiritual disciplines in a healthy church because we know those spiritual disciplines help us connect with God. They help us grow in our faith. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves. This wasn't just a pastime. This was life. They devoted themselves. There was intentionality. There was purpose to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to the prayer. Now, there are all kinds of spiritual disciplines, okay? We could just kind of open it up and say, hey, what are the spiritual disciplines? And we could list all type of disciplines that are in the scripture. The two that I think are essential. Guys, this doesn't mean the others are not important, but these are two that I think are most essential for my life, for your life, for the life of the church. That is a daily time in the Word of God and prayer. That daily engagement with the Word of God and prayer are essential for our growth as disciples. Would you agree with that? Would you agree that that's important? Jesus said this, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Now, how do we remain in Jesus? Spiritual disciplines, daily time in the Word of God, and prayer. You want to remain in Jesus? Daily time in the Word of God and prayer. Now, each of these values, these first three that I've just mentioned to you, each of these are connected. They speak to how we love God more intimately and how we know God more fully. Because the more we love God, the more we want to know God. Is that true in your life? I know it is in mine. The more I fall in love with God, the more I want to know about God, which does what? It leads me back to this Word so that I'm digging into this Word daily, so that I'm praying to Him daily, all times, without ceasing, praying to Him. So the more I love God, the more I want to know God. And then as I dig into the Word, the more I know God, guess what? The more I love God. That incredible how that works together, love and know. Hey, I want to give you a visual for what we're talking about, okay? So if you've got your bulletin there or a piece of paper, here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw just a simple triangle, okay? Just draw a simple triangle on that piece of paper. If you don't have that, you don't have a piece of paper, just vision it in your mind, okay? Simple triangle. I call this the disciples triangle, discipleship triangle. And we used this at First Baptist Stuttgart. God kind of gave this to me several years back. We implemented it in everything that we did. All of our teaching, our worship, our strategy for the church, everything that we did, this was our model for what it meant to make disciples. It was our model for what it meant to be a disciple. It was our model for what it meant for this is what we do as a church, okay? On that left-hand leg of the triangle, write these two words, love and know. Love and know. Those first three values that we just talked about are on that left leg of the triangle, love and know. It's all about loving and knowing God. That's all about worship. That's about spiritual disciplines. That's about our connection with God and why that is so important. Now, out of that connection with God, here's what we understand. We understand we have a need to connect with other people as well if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. Why did the First Church Jerusalem value the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, God-exalting worship, spiritual disciplines? Well, they loved God. They wanted to know Him more fully so they could love Him even more. That's the great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. We'll get to that part in just a few moments. Now, on that second leg of the triangle, write these words. Connect and grow. Love and know. Connect and grow. That's what we're going to talk about the next couple of values, okay? About the connection with other people and the importance that is to our spiritual development, our formation as disciples. That early church and a healthy church values connecting with other disciples in the context of the church so that we can learn and we can grow together. Do you notice in this passage how every day, it says every day, members at First Church Jerusalem met in two places. They met in the temple. That was the big gathering place, okay? That was where they would go as Jewish folks or Gentiles. They would go to that particular part that they could go to in the temple. That's where they worshiped God. So now as the church, the redeemed people of God, they didn't have a place, building like this, that they could go to. So what did they do? They used the temple. They went there and they met together in the temple to worship God. But it also says they met in houses, day to day in the temple and in houses, from homes to homes. These folks were always together. I mean, you get the idea that they kind of liked each other. They depended upon each other. They needed one another. Why? Because they valued fulfilling the Great Commission. And they knew they couldn't do that by themselves, so they needed one another. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but throughout the New Testament, in the Gospels and in Paul's writings, you will find all kinds of these one another's. Love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, pray for one another. All of these one another's. You know what that teaches me? I can't do this Christian life in isolation. It's in the context of the church. One another's, it's here. This is where this happens. It's the connection. It's talking about the value of connecting with other believers in the local church. There's a commitment in a healthy church to the body of Christ to learn together, grow together, serve together, pray together, do life together. And then here's another value under this leg of the triangle. A healthy church values loving and caring relationships with people outside the church. Not only do we need to have connections within the church, solid relationships there, but we also see our need to connect with others outside the church. Here's what verse 47 says. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. Not just the people within the church. All the people. Not only does our faith grow as we connect within the body of Christ, but the church grows as we intentionally build loving and caring relationships with people who are unreached, unengaged with the gospel. Jesus said we're to be salt and light, right? We've talked about that. As a healthy church, as we understand that fulfilling the Great Commission requires us to get outside the walls of this building and connect with people who are unengaged, unreached with the gospel. So a healthy church, first of all, knows they are to love and know God, connect and grow in the church, connect to one another, connect to God, to connect to people outside. It's all about relationships. The gospel is about relationships, right? And then the bottom, the foundation of that triangle, write the word serve and go. Serve and go. Three values under this one. Number one is this. A healthy church values demonstrating that love of God by unselfishly serving the needs of other people. Verses 44 and 45. Now all the believers were together. They held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property, distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, here's what you've got to understand. The early believers, they weren't required to sell everything they have and give the proceeds to the church. That wasn't a requirement. That came because there were needs that were present. And they loved each other so much, they loved God so much, that they wanted to do whatever it took to meet those needs within the body. They discovered the joy of unselfishly serving the needs of the body. I don't know if you've discovered that or not, but if you have, you know this, there's no greater joy than being able to say, God has blessed me in this way. I'm going to bless someone else who has a need. God has taken care of my needs in this way. Now I'm going to bless this person who has a need. Now, why would they do that? Because they value demonstrating the love of Jesus, who taught them this in John chapter 13. Now that I, the Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done. So here's what a healthy church does. A healthy church not only understands the love that they've received from God, but they want to demonstrate that love by meeting needs within the church, but also meeting needs within the community. I'm so appreciative, East End, that in your purpose statement, your mission statement, you have placed that in there, to minister to the needs, to people in need. To minister to people in needs. And of course, the greatest need that anyone outside of this building has is the need of a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Greatest need that they have. So here's another value. A healthy church values intentionally sharing the good news of Jesus with people outside the faith, and then making disciples, which means teaching them what it means to follow Jesus. That's the making disciples part of your purpose statement. You see, not only does a healthy church demonstrate the love of God by serving, but they also do it by sharing the love of God by telling the gospel story. How many of you remember when you were a kid, you went to school, and you had that day called show and tell? Remember it? You would take some object from home, and you would show this to your class. Maybe it was a puppy, you know. Maybe it, who knows what it was, but you would show, but then you would also tell about it. Show and tell. And that's exactly what we're talking about with this particular value. We show the love of God by serving needs, but we also tell the love of God by sharing the gospel intentionally. That God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Friends, let me tell you, the greatest need in your life, the greatest need in the life of anyone this morning who is watching this service on social media, the greatest need of anyone outside this building is a relationship with Jesus, with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's by trusting in Jesus to forgive sin, to reconcile you to the Father. That is doing something for you that you cannot do for yourself. In just a little while, we're going to give you that opportunity to respond to that need that is present in your life by confessing sin and trusting Jesus as Savior. A healthy church intentionally shares the gospel with other people. And when a person trusts Jesus for salvation, here's what a healthy church does not do. A healthy church doesn't just forget about them and let them work it out on their own. No, a healthy church walks alongside them to say, here's how we're going to help you grow as a disciple. Here's how we're going to help you make disciples. That's this discipleship triangle. That's the strategy. We're going to help you know what it means to love and know God, connect and grow in the church, serve and go with the gospel. Because a healthy church values biblical disciple making. Making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. It's all about reproduction. It's not about addition. It's about multiplication in the church with a healthy church. And the result, look again at verse 47, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, there's one other value that is not explicitly mentioned here, but it's implicit in all of Scripture. And here it is. A healthy church values the glory of God. Members of a healthy church want their lives and their church to count for the kingdom of God in their own community and among the nations. And so here's what a healthy church does. They leverage every resource they have for kingdom purposes. They ask questions like, how can I best leverage my time for the kingdom of God? How can I best leverage my talents for the kingdom of God? How can I best leverage my finances, my resources for the kingdom of God? Now, let me share a truth with you. I want you to really think about this, guys. The health of East End Baptist Church is dependent on your health as a disciple. The health of this church is dependent upon your health as a disciple. Let that sink in for a minute. And your health as a disciple is dependent on the health of the church, because healthy disciples produce a healthy church, which in turn reproduces healthy disciples. As a disciple of Jesus, it's so important for each of us here who have been saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, for each of us to be growing, to become more and more like Jesus. And we don't do that in isolation. No, we do that in the context of the church, because healthy disciples produce a healthy church, which in turn reproduces healthy disciples. And here's another truth I'll lay on you this morning. Your community, your county, this state, our nation, our world is desperate for a gospel that is relevant and is being fleshed out through the local church. And the only way for the church to be healthy and vibrant and effective if it is filled with healthy disciples who are reproducing healthy disciples. So let me ask this question of you. How many of us, by show of hands, would say of these eight values that I've listed, I'm batting 1,000? I mean, I'm 8 for 8. No room for growth whatsoever. I've got this thing nailed down, Dr. Sam. Any hands? None? You know why? Because here's the reason. There's room for growth in each of our lives, right? Here's the truth I want you to pay attention to this morning, East End. Becoming a healthy disciple is a lifelong process. It's not something that just kind of happens automatically. I mean, there's work that we have to put in. It requires patient steps taken day by day to grow in our faith. And along the journey, there are going to be those times when we celebrate the growth that we see in our Christian lives, but there are going to be those times that we take great strides in following Jesus, but there are also going to be those days and sometimes even seasons of our life when we feel like we have failed in following Jesus. We look and say, I struck out that time. I mean, I struck out. I wasn't even swinging. I just let it go past, you know. Following Jesus is not easy, friends. Have you determined that? Have you discovered that? Following Jesus is often not comfortable. There's nothing easy or comfortable about the reminder that Paul gives us over in Romans 12 when he says, brothers and sisters, I urge you in view of the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Don't be conformed by this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Living sacrifice? Where's the comfort in that? Huh? Or take these words to Jesus that he spoke to would-be disciples who were following him. Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to the crowd, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. Denying self, taking up the cross, losing your life. No wonder that the gospel writers record that when Jesus began to specify what it would mean to take up your cross, to lose your life, to follow him, that many would-be disciples turned and they walked away. They said, I don't want anything of that. I just want my belly filled. So here's what I want us to do for the next few minutes. I want us to think through these eight values. Just reflect on these eight. Now, I said these are values of a healthy church. They're also values of a healthy disciple. So as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, I want you to reflect on each one of these. And as you reflect on them, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Consider some ways that that value is either present or not present in your life. And folks, don't be afraid to look honestly in the mirror and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because that's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, okay? He works to affirm. He also works to convict. We like the affirming part, don't we? The convicting part is a little uncomfortable, uneasy. But let's let the Holy Spirit do his job this morning. And then when you've identified some of those values that are not indicative of your life of following Jesus, I want to encourage you to write down some areas of heart, of mind, of will that God directs you this morning to change in following him so that his likeness is more visible through your life. So let me just ask these questions. What steps do you need to take this morning to become a healthier disciple? What are specific changes in regards to these values that you need to make to embody more fully that value of being a healthy disciple? Here's what I can tell you. If you take this seriously, if you allow the Holy Spirit to identify issues and relationships and attitudes that need to be addressed specifically in your life, he'll do that. Don't short-circuit the process. So real quick, let's go through each one of these. Here's the question. Do I value the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? Do I value God-exalting worship? Do I value spiritual disciplines to connect with God and grow in faith? Do I value learning and growing in connection with other disciples? Do I value building loving and caring relationships outside the church? Do I value demonstrating the love of Jesus by unselfishly serving the needs of others? Do I value making disciples by intentionally sharing the good news of Jesus with those outside the faith and teaching people what it means to follow Jesus? And do I value the glory of Christ? Now let me share this with you. Where you are today, if you were to rate yourself 1 to 10 on each of those values, where you are today is not where you need to stay forever. Can we agree on that? You see, we all have room for growth in following Jesus. We are all in the process of becoming healthier disciples, of being transformed more and more into the image, the likeness of Jesus. But following Jesus demands our very best, folks. It demands everything we got. And even though that process may bring some pain, some hurt, some discomfort, may cause us to make some massive changes in our heart, in our attitude, in our will, in our behaviors, I want you to know this. Those changes are possible. They can happen, but they can only happen as we depend on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. They only happen because of his grace as we submit our will, our hearts to him. Because here's what I've learned over the years. the grace of God meets us where we are, wherever that is. But he never leaves us there. He always calls us to deeper relationship with him. And if this morning you have never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit is drawing you now to confess that sin and trust Jesus. He meets you right where you are, but he doesn't leave you there. And then keep this in mind, his grace is always sufficient, my friends. His grace is always sufficient. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you again for the truth of your word. I thank you that you have promised that what you have begun in us, you will bring it to completion. That it doesn't depend upon me. It doesn't depend upon us. But it's all about you, Jesus. It's about your power. It's about your authority. Making a difference in this community. Not about us, Lord. It's all about us submitting to you and your authority, your power. Being right, reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Not about us. It's all about depending upon you to do in our lives what you accomplished on the cross. Forgiving our sin. Reconciling us to the Father and acknowledging that. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for people who want to grow in their faith, who want to become healthier in following you. Father, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would bring to mind right now in each of our lives those steps we need to take to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.